What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Mongols podcast. I'm Mike, with me is Kev. Coming up on today's show, we're going to preview the Hounds' upcoming game against the Rhinos before switching gears and talking about Liverpool's local supporters group LFC Pittsburgh with their chairman Loaf, and we'll get his thoughts on their upcoming matchup against Burnley. Let's go!
Can you believe that, guys?
No, I mean, that is the craziest sequence of events we've seen in quite a period of time.
In the top right corner, gentlemen. Out to the middle, back to
So first off, I feel like I should apologize to people because I thought my voice would sound just fine until I went to that "Let's go!" and it sounded a little raspy, like there's a little something.
I didn't
in
notice.
There. Yeah, I told Kevin right before we jumped, literally like a minute before we jumped in here, I had just torn through four of the last six chapters of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix with my kids. And typically we've been sitting down and reading like one chapter a night and just taking our time. And it just got to the point where it was like, okay, we got like 10 more minutes. Let's go. We just gotta keep going. And so literally it was like, close the book, run upstairs. Kevin's calling me and I jump down and now I've got
I'm guessing they like it. Obviously, if they want to sit through four chapters in one sitting.
It's funny because so my kids are 9, 7, and 4. And so the 4-year-old has made it very clear that he could give two hoots about it. Like, he likes the idea. And
does he still sit there and listen to it, though?
No. Okay. No. He'll sit for like 3 seconds and then start tormenting the other ones who are sitting there trying to listen intently. The 7-year-old tries to hold out for as long as he can, but then finally gives in to the 4-year-old's tormenting, and they run off and do something else. He's like passively listening, but then every so often I'll realize he's like either back in the house or he's like 3 rooms away and is missing everything. The 9-year-old is like sitting next to me like reading and correcting my pronunciation of words whenever I mispronounce things. So he's like into
saying it in a British accent.
Yes, exactly. Doing it in a British accent, which he perfected in Peter Pan this year. But yeah, but no, we enjoy it. But anyway, so if my voice comes off raspy or you hear me coughing at some point during this, I apologize. That's why. It's all for the sake of literature.
And if you hear cicadas in the background, that's my fault. Is it cicadas? Is that what it is? I don't know.
I think it's cicadas.
Knoxville's nuts, but yeah. So very professional tonight, but just
that's right.
Just hang with us.
We bring it. So let's talk about the Hounds. This weekend we're playing the Rhinos in Rochester at 6:05, which is typically it's a 7 o'clock game, but I think Rochester always plays at 6:05, which is interesting. So far, we've played Rochester twice this season, and we've lost both times. The first time was the opening game of the season, which was April 2nd for us. We ended up losing 1-0 on a fluky chip shot. Basically, I forget who it was that got around. I think it was Campbell, and chipped the ball over Gilstrap, who came out for it, and he was sort of caught. I don't want to say he's caught in no man's land, but there wasn't a lot he could do about it. It was terrible weather. I remember I was at the game. It was my wife and I's wedding anniversary, and she was sporting enough to say, yeah, let's go down there and do that for our wedding anniversary, in addition to other things. And so we went down to the game. We lasted about a half before we were just rain-soaked and drenched to the core. And when she said, I think I want to go, I couldn't really argue with her at that point.
No, you will sit here in the rain for the rest of our anniversary.
Yeah, it's our 10th anniversary, too, nonetheless. So it's like, yeah, okay, yes. Honey, I will gladly leave with you right now. Our second game was June 25th in Rochester. It was a 2-1 loss. When I went to go back and try to refresh this game in my memory, I was like, oh, I'll go back and, listen to the podcast that we did about this show and who we talked about, and we recapped it. And then I realized that this was the game that Kevin and I were stuck in Ohio on vacation with no Wi-Fi, so we recorded the podcast in the car on the way to pick up pizza. So it's not like there was a ton of details about what happened. But yeah, the way that game played out was the Rhinos scored in the 7th minute and the 59th minute, and Herzog scored in between in the 43rd. Late in the game, the Hounds ended up scoring to draw it. Basically, what happened was there was a corner kick that came in. Willie Hunt went up for it and headed it, but bumped the goalie in the process of heading it. The goalie never had his hands on it. The ball went into the net, and the ref blew the whistle and said that Willie can't touch the goalie, who completely missed the ball and disallowed the goal. So in theory, it could have been 2-2, but, we ended up losing 2-1. But there were a number of things that that were different for that team than where we are now. I think it was just the second game into Brant's era, or maybe the third game, and we were starting Branson at center back, who's no longer with the team. Gilstrap was in goal. A number of moving pieces that make that team different from this team. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how things play out this go around in Rochester. The Rhinos are currently in seventh place in the East. They have a 5-point lead over OCB, who's in the eighth point in the East. But their last five games have not been stellar. They drew 1-1 against Bethlehem, who we just beat. They drew 1-1 against Harrisburg. They lost 1-0 to Richmond, 1-2 against Wilmington, who we beat 4-1. And they drew 1-1 against Louisville on Saturday. And really, it seemed like Louisville stole that draw with a goal in the 85th minute.
Yeah, I watched the highlights of this game. For their goal, I think they scored like around the 25th-ish minute. It was pretty much Louisville had a throw-in, and Rochester did a pretty decent job of getting their midfield tight and narrow and pressing decently high up the pitch. And pretty much one of the Louisville players goes to kind of drop a pass back, and it went slightly awry. And Dos Santos jumped on it immediately. Showed some pretty decent pace and kind of just... He beat their player to the ball and fed a beautiful one-time pass up to Valeski, their leading goal scorer. And Valeski had a nice finish. So it was a very quick kind of counter-attacking play where they pressed a bit high, forced Louisville into a mistake, and used some pace and real quality to kind of carve out a chance in a very quick manner and finish it. I mean, it seems like, just looking at the stats, Valeski and Dos Santos are really their big hitters. Valeski leads their team with 8 goals. Dos Santos is second with 5. And as far as assists go, Dos Santos has 4 and Valeski has 3. So both of them are really the main core of how they get their goals. And both of them seem pretty pacey. Dos Santos seems like a pretty big guy, as well as having some pace. Correct me if I'm wrong, if you've maybe seen something else, but it seemed like they might have been kind of playing a 4-4-1-1 with Dos Santos sitting behind Valeski. I don't know. I think just mainly as far as how we approach this. Valeski seems to have pace, so, you know, especially being away from home and all that kind of stuff. I don't know if we necessarily want to play an aggressive high line or something like that. We want to try to limit the amount of space that both Valeski and Dos Santos kind of are allowed to run into and really just kind of focus on those two. I mean, they still get numbers elsewhere. Once again, just looking on the stats on the USL website, they have this Joseph Farrell who also has 5 goals. You can't solely, I guess, focus on Dos Santos and Valeski, but they're obviously their main threats.
Well, and they have a few names that we've heard over the years. You know, there's Canardo Forbes, there's Michael Garzy, who almost won it for them in this game. In the 85th minute, Louisville scored in the 85th minute. Mike Garzy almost scored in stoppage time for Louisville, but was denied by a diving save by City's keeper. So they're both dangerous. There's Apostolopoulos on defense, which is everybody's favorite defender's name in the league, I think. Big guy. So we're familiar with this team. Not only have we played them twice, but there's a lot of players that we've seen over the years and Steel Army fans know. And I don't want to say know and hate, but it's something that we're used to. So, Kev, you mentioned a little bit about how we sort of approach this game. And again, you know, we're sort of just guessing here. But I think the big thing for me is, what do you think about the Columbus guys? Because in the last game, we had Stefan start in goal. And we mentioned that we thought he did a really good job in goal. But what do you do about, you know, Saravia, Martinez, Barson? Barson should be back from a red card if they're still with the team. None of them got the start in our most recent game that we won. But they saw time whenever we played against Montreal. They each have some skill. There were a number of times, especially towards the end of this most recent game, where Saravia and Martinez were getting breaks and they should have put 2 or 3 more goals away. Do you roll the dice with them going into Rochester? Or do you sort of stick with what you know and hope that you're continuing to progress as a unit?
I think the first question comes to Vargas's fitness. Because, I mean, look, I think, yeah, Stefan seemed really good. And as Josh mentioned, I had no idea about this, but what, he's like the USA's under 23 starting goalkeeper. I mean, there was moments, certainly, where I noticed his kind of composure, kind of controlling everything. So, yeah, you know, if Vargas is still hurt, that's not even a question. I think Stefan obviously still steps in. But just in general, I don't know. I don't see any kind of benefit for us playing Columbus players. I mean, mathematically, there might be a chance to salvage something this season. But at the same time, if we're not going to play for the short term, then these Columbus players really aren't helping anything, because they're not helping it for the long term. I mean, there's no chance of them being around next season. And so I've appreciated I don't want to say the run, but for the past maybe three games, it feels like we've been seeing a semi-consistent starting 11. Well, that's not true. With
aside from Montreal,
right, but having a midfield of Maloto, Kerr, Earls and Okai with Herzog and Aguilar up top. I want to give that, if not for the rest of the season, a chance, at least for the next couple of games, I want to give that another chance. See if that can actually grow into something that's potentially sustainable going forward. And I think, yeah, I don't know. It's honestly personal preference. I don't like seeing loanies come in, especially at this point in the season. It's not like it's the beginning of the season. It's not like we really have much to fight for. So I'm just never a fan of it. Even if they are maybe a bit more technically gifted and composed on the ball, I don't know. I feel a bit more detached. What are your feelings and thoughts on that?
No, I think it.
I mean,
comes
it's
down
and it's purely personal.
What?
It's not like a tactical thing. It's not.
Right.
It's not a tactical.
Right.
Thing.
Right. No. I think it comes down to your point. You know, if we were in the midst of battling for a playoff spot and we knew that we needed to improve in certain areas in order to do that, and we saw them as a short-term fix to get us over that hump and maybe for the rest of the season, then I'm thinking, yeah, let's go ahead and run them out and let's see if we can improve in those areas and get us across that line. But I think if we haven't been eliminated mathematically, it's pretty close. In terms of the playoffs. And I would much rather see players that we have a better chance of seeing next season get more time on the pitch to develop together and see where that takes us. And I mean, the midfield, at least the midfield that you mentioned, I feel like deserves and has shown that they deserve more time, and they've shown that they can play with most other teams in this league.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that's the midfield that scores four goals in Wilmington, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, them coupled with Herzog playing in that number 10 role, I think we just keep doing that, because I don't want to say that, you know, we've had a number of losses up to this point, obviously, but we're starting to see something with at least those five that are giving us a chance to score every game. And so it's a matter of, okay, well, let's keep doing that. Because you look at any of these teams, you know, we went into Louisville and we, I don't want to say we bossed around Louisville, but we played with them. And Louisville are the top team in the East. And you look at even a team like Rochester, who are sitting in a playoff spot right now, and they drew to Bethlehem, they drew to Harrisburg, they lost to Richmond, they only beat Wilmington 2-0. So it's not like these teams are, you know, otherworldly and can't be beaten. And I think, you know, we've been saying this all season, but we finally have a semblance of a core, it feels like, at least when you compare it to what's available on the bench. And I think you keep rolling with that.
Yeah, it hasn't felt like the chaotic depression it has felt at certain points in this season. It at least feels somewhat a bit more stable. As far as, I don't know, rolling out specific tactics for this game, and how that kind of formulates into a starting 11. As I kind of alluded to before, I think especially being away from home and especially trying to counter any kind of pace that Valeski and DeSantos might have, I think we probably have to sit a bit deeper. If we're going to play a 4-4-1-1, that's fine. I think we sit deep and maybe have Earls just kind of follow DeSantos around and just kind of lightly mark him throughout the entire game. And I think Okai is going to be perfect for this kind of game. You're going to need players that have control in tight areas as well as can defend. Kerr can't drop out because he's Kerr. My only slight worry is Maloto. I mean, I think you're going to have all four of those midfield players be industrious and willing to run and close down and be defensive. And I think Maloto over the season has showed that he's not entirely up for that kind of stuff. So I don't know if Maloto usually kind of hangs out on the wing, maybe someone like a Boggs comes in. I don't know. I mean, we have some. I'm not entirely trustworthy on Jack Thompson starting. I'd like to see Hollingsworth at left back, so I don't want to see him in the midfield. You could potentially say Green on the right with Russell behind, but we haven't seen much of Russell either. But at least those three, I think, in midfield kind of pick itself. And then I'm not too worried about, as long as we sit deep and don't give Valeski space to run into. You know, I think our back four is steady. Campbell probably comes back into this game. He's at least eligible. I've been relatively impressed with Adelai, and I think Hunt is undroppable right now. So pick a combination of them plus Green or Hollingsworth or something like that. But that's my general thoughts on how we roll out for this game.
No, I totally agree. I think you just sort of go out, and the other thing about having sort of a stable lineup is it allows you to build that cohesion. The players know where they're going to be, and that allows you to better game plan for the teams that you're playing against. And we've talked in the past about whether or not there's any game planning that goes on at all, because there's a lot of talk about, you know, we're going to focus on us. Okay, well, you can focus on yourself to a point, but this team has played together under Brandt now for, you know, more time than they played under Steffens this season, not including preseason. So they know what he expects. They know what he wants. They've started to build a rapport with each other within that system. So now it's the point where you can say, okay, we know what we're going to do. Now let's turn and look at what they're going to do and how we're going to counter that. So, yeah, I agree. I think, you know, it all depends on, you know, what the agreement with Columbus was when we got those players. I have a feeling we're talking about this saying, hey, keep it even. And we're going to see, you know, Sarabi, Martinez, and Barson all starting this game.
Has to be weird for Barson, too. I mean, it's his first game was when he got his red card. I mean, so it's like he has had zero time to settle in with his players, with his squad, with his team. I mean, I can't really imagine what the dressing room is like right now. I mean, you would imagine all three of those players and Stefan just kind of like hanging out in the corner of the dressing room, and everyone else is on the other side of the dressing room. Like
Hollingsworth is the one guy like trying to go between them. Like, hey guys, it's cool. It's all right.
I mean, you know, and who knows? That might not be the case, but especially mid season in a situation that we're in and all that kind of stuff. I don't know. Can you tell I'm not too favorable about these loans? I'll shut up about it now.
Yeah. Well, no. So here's the thing. I was going to ask, you know, in terms of predictions, but my own personal prediction could go two ways depending upon how we line up.
A win and a loss, Mike? Is that what you're...
I don't want to say...
It could go one of three ways. We could either win tie or lose. Say,
No. What I'm saying is that if we roll out a lineup with a midfield of what we've been talking about, where it's Kerr, Earls, Okai, and Maloto. We even say Maloto in that case. And, you know, you have Herzog and Aguilar up top. And I'm not a huge fan of Adelai. I think sometimes he's okay, and sometimes his decision-making isn't great. I would love to see, you know, Hunt and Campbell back in the middle and do a Green and Hollingsworth out wide. I think if we roll out a lineup like that, whether it's Stefan or Vargas in goal, I think we give ourselves a chance to win this game. And I think if we do that, it could be a 1-0 or a 2-1 sort of close game where we sort of hunker down and we may get one on the counter, and that's fine. I think if we roll the dice and we start some of the Columbus guys, you get put back in a situation like we were in Montreal, where you have a player like Okai who picks up the ball in midfield and has no idea where anybody else is because other players are making runs and he doesn't know that they're making runs, and we end up coughing up the ball a lot. And I feel like Rochester's the type of team that's going to feast on turnovers if we look disorganized, not knowing what we're doing in the midfield. So I think if we do that, I think we're setting ourselves up for a loss. But if we roll out a consistent lineup, I'm predicting either a 1-0 or 2-1 win.
Yeah, I oddly think the only way we win this game is if we somehow reproduce what happened in Wilmington. Like, I don't know. I don't necessarily see us winning this game by one. I think if we win this game, it's going to be big. And that being said, I don't necessarily see that happening. So just because mainly, I mean, Rochester is kind of, I don't know. I haven't watched a ton of Rochester, but from what I have seen of them, they generally put in very professional performances, and you know, how they scored in Louisville was a very well taken goal, right? It was under 3 seconds. It felt like a guy snapped onto a ball that was coughed up in the midfield, one pass and behind the line, and he finished it, and so. Yeah, I don't see Rochester making too many mistakes, and from that, I think we need to be tight at the back. I've been calling for this kind of all season. I'd love to just see a 0-0. Have we even? I can't remember the last time we've had a 0-0. I don't know if we've had a 0-0, to be honest with you.
When was the last time that we've had a 0-0? That is a very good question.
But I mean, it's I think, you know, like I said, I want to get something going here and just get some momentum to allow us to kind of fall into next season with at least some positives to think about of how we finished up this season. And I think, you know, away to Rochester, a draw is not a bad result.
I was going to say, our last 0-0 was July 4th against Harrisburg at Highmark Stadium. So we're due. And that was actually our last clean sheet as well. So, and our only clean sheet of the season. So there's that too.
Yeah, I'd like that. I'd like to see that again.
You'd like to see another clean sheet.
I'd like to see another clean sheet. More so than a goal.
More so than a goal. That's interesting. But I would not disagree with that. All right. Well, yeah, as we mentioned, Saturday's game is going to be at 6:05. Hey, guess what? It's going to be mascot night in Rochester, where the Rhinos are going to be celebrating Rex's birthday. So for all of those fans of the hippo that, you know, he's not really a hippo. He's a rhino, but he's built like a hippo.
What's he turning?
They're going to be celebrating his birthday.
16, getting that driver's license.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Hopefully they have some footage of it on YouTube so we can all mock it later and make GIFs of it. All right. I think that's it for the Hounds for this episode. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we have Loaf joining us from LFC Pittsburgh. So stick around. We'll be right back. And we're back, and we are joined by Jody Loaf Fleming. Jody, or Loaf, as he's affectionately known, is the chairman of the local Liverpool supporters group. Loaf, thanks for joining us again, man. It's great having you on.
It's great being back, and it's great being Pittsburgh's official EPL team.
Yeah. I mean, first and foremost, I want to congratulate you guys. You know, I mentioned we had like 400-plus votes, and 51% of those votes were for Liverpool. So you guys definitely mobilized. I saw weekly you were out there on Twitter egging people on, getting them out there to vote, and you could see sort of the wave of Liverpool fans making their way through. So you did good.
Oh yeah,
you did.
Yeah,
good.
It's you know, I realize we're one of the bigger groups in town, but our core group is pretty loyal and. They get things done. So.
Well, that's
and
good.
It was also nice. I'm not going to lie. It was nice seeing Everton come in second.
Don't encourage
so
them.
That was pretty.
Josh is sitting at home just gnarling his teeth right now. But yeah, so, you know, as a result of winning, you know, you guys have that new badge that you can either put on your site, you know, you guys have been sharing it on social media. That's great. You know, I mentioned we're going to email the official Liverpool supporters group with details about, you know, how you guys mobilized, and, you know, I'll send along a picture. You guys had a nice picture of you out in front of Canes this past week, your whole group there. And then in addition to that, we're going to be talking about Liverpool every week for the rest of the season. So I know Kevin's really stoked about that, and that obviously means we're going to have you on at least a few more times to talk shop. So mentioning, you know, Canes, it looked like you guys had a massive turnout. What was it like down there this week?
It was awesome. Usually the first weeks are really big, and then anytime we're in cup finals, things like that. But this week really blew me away. I got there around 9 a.m. to get ready. We had our scarves, and we wanted to get those distributed and things like that. And there was nobody. And then all of a sudden I turned around and the whole back bar is filled, and we had people in the front bar. We took that picture at halftime. I want to say we probably had anywhere between 50 and 70 people there.
Yes.
it was awesome. And like I said in the previous pod, that's why we had to find our own place.
Yeah.
We just got way too big, and Canes is so accommodating. You know, they block off almost the whole back section for us. So it's just awesome. I walk in, I feel like I'm walking in the Cheers. walk in and we just kind of have the rule of the roost. It's sweet.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I kind of want to set up like a camera. I want to like ship a camera down to Canes and just set it up in the corner, and I'll just live stream the entire event and just sit there and feel like I'm a part of it. That'd be amazing. I really want
to
do that.
Or you could come to Pittsburgh, Kevin.
I'm you know, being in Knoxville is a little tough, Mike. So
there's no excuse for you, Mike.
I know. Well, here's the thing. I was talking to Josh off air, and he mentioned that you guys might do sort of a home and home, where some of the Everton fans come over to Canes and watch the one Everton-Liverpool game, and then you guys will go over there. I say we might have to go down there, and I proposed recording live, but Josh said he might be a little too upset in real time to do that. But at least show up and document it, because it sounds like an amazing time. I definitely need to get down there.
We talked about it last season, and then some things got in the way, and with us making the – both teams going far in the League Cup, it kind of screwed up our last derby and ended up being like a makeup game in midweek, and it wasn't doable for either team.
Yeah, but I mean, that sort of thing is what we love to see, and I think fans all over like to see. It's yeah, you know, you hate each other's teams, but you know, you sort of have this recognition of like, hey, we've got our supporters group, you've got your supporters group, we're millions of miles away, let's have some fun with this and get together and watch the games and just have a good time. And, you know, there's no real animosity or anything like that. And sort of just making those connections is awesome. And it's something I had no idea happened, you know, prior to the season and talking to you and Josh and whoever else. So it's amazing. There's sort of this whole like undercurrent to Pittsburgh that's going on of people watching soccer and communicating and tying together, which it's just great. So, you know, excuse me, there's a, we won't call it a big game coming up this weekend against Burnley, but, what are your thoughts on how Liverpool's going to do this weekend after the big win, you know, this past weekend?
Honestly, I'll be disappointed with anything less than 3 points. I know that's kind of cocky, but it's Burnley. There was some bad news in training today. Sadio Mane went down with a shoulder injury. So he's probably not playing this weekend, which kind of throws a wrench into everything.
I was going to ask, Loaf, who do you think slots in Mane's place? Assume maybe we stay with a 4-3-3. If Mane is the right side of that front three, who do you think's the natural replacement? I had an argument with my friend over it. He thinks Ings might come in, and I think Origi is probably ahead of Ings in the pecking order.
I think Origi is more Klopp's guy than Ings is. I love Danny Ings, but I see him being more of a cup player, late sub kind of player like that. Actually, what I think happens is if they do stick with the 4-3-3, I see Lallana going to the right and then Chan starting alongside Henderson and Wijnaldum. That was my only complaint about the lineup for the Arsenal matches. I wanted Chan in.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite players. I guess he just Klopp doesn't see him fully fit at the moment. But yeah, I think Chan holds down that center of the pitch. So I mean, as soon as he came on, I thought we kind of gained control back of that Arsenal game. Things got a little nervy when it went to 4-3, but Chan came on, gave a little physicality in the middle of the pitch, and things kind of tied down a bit nicer. I don't know. My only worry is, sorry, Mike, we're just going to ignore you for a bit.
I'm just soaking this all up. You just keep going.
My only slight worry is, you know, Lallana gets the goal against Arsenal, and I think he gets it because he's in a midfield three, and there's less pressure of him having to produce the numbers and score goals. I think when you play him more forward, I think there's a lot of pressure on him, and I think he feels it. He's not notorious for getting goals in past seasons, so I don't want to put too much pressure on Lallana and say, okay, go ahead, you're part of the front three, we really expect a lot out of you, and then maybe that doesn't come out. For I don't know, that's why I was leaning towards Origi. But I mean, yeah, it's hard to drop Lallana at this point, and if you want Chan to come back in, you kind of have to make space for Lallana, I guess. But
and honestly, I mean, I think what ends up happening in the long run is that they'll switch formations for this week.
You think so?
Yeah, 4-2-3-1 with either Studge or Origi up top. And
well, so that's the other question. I mean, so right now, do you think Sturridge is ahead of Origi in the lineup? I have a weird feeling that Klopp favors Origi more than Sturridge.
I kind of get that too. It's a nice problem to have.
Yeah,
as long as Sturridge stays healthy. But, I mean, Origi is more, I don't know if I want to say suited to a Klopp system, but he played awesome. I mean, in the whole preseason, he was lighting it up whenever Sturridge wasn't available.
Yeah.
So I got a question for both of you, okay? We'll call this hypothetical and say that I'm asking for a friend. So if I look at all of the other Premier League teams and I was to say, okay, you know, I want to get a jersey, and I want to get a jersey with somebody's name on it. You know, you go to a team like Man U and it's like, well, you know, you're looking at like Zlatan or Rooney. Like those are the two big names that jump out.
Or Pogba now, really.
Or Pogba now. Yeah. I mean, you go to, excuse me. I mean, there's players all across the league where, you know, you're looking at Kane, you're looking at Vardy. When I look at Liverpool, it seems like, I don't want to say there aren't any like superstars, but it's sort of like I don't want to say it's that old adage of like the team is the star. It's just there's so much talent from top to bottom that no one person really stands head and shoulders above anybody else. So hypothetically speaking, for a friend, if I was getting a Liverpool jersey with a player on the back of it, who should it be? Kev, you go first.
I mean, just bypass everything and put Klopp on the back, and then you have your problem solved. But no, I mean,
what would Klopp's number be?
It's nothing. You don't need.
He's one. He's the normal one.
Yeah, he's number one. I would probably say Coutinho. I think he is our quote unquote world class player. There was actually an interview. I don't know who did it. It might have been the Echo. Lof, correct me if I'm wrong. Where Henderson, our captain, gave an interview, and he actually mentioned that where he thinks this is the season where Coutinho steps up into that Messi, Suarez, Ronaldo level. I mean, when I read that, I was like, that's saying a lot. But I mean, obviously, the players at the club believe he's that good, and I think he's been pretty consistently that good over the past couple seasons, and I think he's only been getting better. He hasn't really had a dip yet. And yeah, this first game shows no sign of him slowing down whatsoever. I think he's top goal scorer in the league right now, right? I don't think there's no one else got two goals, but no, I don't know. What are your thoughts, Lof?
So obviously the most popular would be Coutinho. I would say there's a tie for second. It's either Firmino or Chan. I kind of stay away from the popular jerseys when I buy them. And this year I went, and here I go contradicting myself, but I got a Chan jersey in the home, and I got a Joel Matip away kit.
Ooh, nice.
So I kind of like the younger guys that aren't – like Sterling was my boy. And yeah. I watched him come up from when he was, you know, he scored that those five goals in the reserves.
Yeah.
He was my boy, and then he turned into what he turned into, and we won't talk about it. So, but no, if you're going for popularity, it's Coutinho. But the only thing that worries me about getting Coutinho kits is there's always that chance that Barca or Real come in for him.
I think that, yeah, I think that'll happen eventually. Yeah, and then Chen and Firmino. I mean, Chen's just so beautiful. And Firmino has that weird ponytail going on, so I'd go Chen with that one. But
yeah. Firmino, no man bun.
Yeah. I'll have to say, this is one of the last kind of off-topic questions I have. Loaf, was there ever a jersey where you just went like a bit too nuts with a name and number on the back? For example, I'm just like you. I love getting those weird player numbers when I get my jerseys. I want to say 2 or 3 years ago, I got a John Joe Shelby jersey, number 33. And yeah, that didn't turn out too well. But
that is the same jersey that I got.
Yay! You were the other one. They sold
I was
two.
The other one. The 2010-11 away kit with the bright yellow.
Okay. I got the home kit with the red collar warrior. I forget which year.
Yeah, this was the last year of Adidas. I got the Shelby jersey.
Nice.
Didn't work out too well. I still wear it.
Yeah.
Shelby was my boy.
Yeah, he's still a Premier League player. You know. Oh, actually, no, he's not. Technically.
No, he's in the championship.
Yeah, I was gonna say, he's at Newcastle, right?
That's okay. Yeah, yep.
I feel like I need more of this. Like, you know, whenever you're like cruising music and it's like, oh, you know, here's this band's top hits, and then you have like the deep cuts. I feel like I'm getting the deep cuts version of Liverpool right now.
Yeah.
And it's good for me. I'm soaking this up. This is awesome. Well, that's great. So I guess, Loaf, are you guys going to be down at Kane's this weekend?
Yep, this weekend, 10 a.m. We'll have it on all the TVs and go from there.
So, yeah, if anybody is even passingly interested at Liverpool, it's worth heading down to Kane's and catching a game because it sounds like it's just a blast. And we're going to have to get something on the schedule to get down there and record some stuff and show Kevin how awesome it is since he came.
I know listeners might think, in case they want to spell that, what, it's C-A-I-N-E-S, right?
No, just C-A-I-N-S.
Oh, okay, so there you go. Just Google search Kane's, that.
Yeah, canesaloon.com. They have 33 taps, constantly rotating drafts. The food is awesome. Steak and eggs, can't go wrong with it. And we get $3 Carlsberg specials during the match. Can't go wrong. Yingling's $3 on Saturdays, so...
No better excuse to start drinking in the morning than a Liverpool game.
All right. Well, once again, you know, Loaf, congrats on the win for you and all of, you know, LFC Pittsburgh. That's awesome. And you guys get to hold that title for the rest of the season. And, you know, if other teams aren't happy about it, we'll have a vote again next summer and see if you guys can hold on to it and keep the claim. But it sounds like you have quite the army behind you. So, whoever else is coming better bring it. So that's awesome. Let's move on a little bit and just talk about a few more things before we close out the show. One is the Mongols Fantasy League, which Loaf, you are a part of. After, just to give everybody a quick update, after the first week, Willie Hunt is leading the league with 69 points.
Yeah, he smashed it.
He smashed it. And then, you know, the three of us, I don't want to say are bringing up the rear, but Kev, you're at 10th with 54, I'm at 12th with 49, and Loaf is at 18th with 28. So going into this week, are there any changes that you guys are looking to maybe make to your team? Maybe players that you looked at and originally thought they'd be a good idea and they turned out not to be. For example, I had Pogba sitting on my bench because when he got signed to Man U, I was like, this guy's going to be awesome, not really knowing anything. And then I sat and watched Coutinho go off in that first week while he was not on my team. So I went ahead and made the switch and got Pogba off my bench and
That's
got Coutinho
right.
into the lineup.
Drop the United player, go for the Liverpool player.
Kev, is there any moves you're thinking about making with your team?
No, you know what?
Hold tight.
As a manager, Mike, I favor consistency. I like to put trust in my players. I like to let them know that, you know, they have to work their way out of a hole on the pitch rather than me making moves back in the back room. No, I don't know. I don't have any lingering transfer cash, and so any money I would raise would be dropping players out. And there's not one player specifically that has convinced me to drop him yet, so I think I'm going to stick with my team. Not really bring anyone in. I have Joe Allen on the bench, and I can't even. Oh, I have Origi on the bench, which I might switch him in, but I'm not convinced he's going to start. So I think I still have Colin Wilson from Bournemouth and Ibrahimovic. But yeah, I think I'm going to stay consistent from last week.
I mean, I will say this: there is some strategy to not picking up a player right away, because the way that it works is that you get one free transfer every week, and then after that, every additional transfer you have to basically get docked some points for. So if you want to, you know, get two transfers after the first week, then you have to basically give up some points in order to make that second transfer happen. You can actually stash transfers. I think you can have up to two at a time. So if you don't use your transfer this week, next week you'll have two transfers. And what that nice. Allows you to do is, if you want to go after sort of like a higher priced player, you can actually switch out two and get one higher priced player and then one lower priced player to sort of fill that spot. So there is some strategy to it. I'm learning, you know, this again is all new to me.
Watch out, Eric Dyer. Have another bad week and you're getting switched out.
Loaf, is there anything that you're going to be switching up with your team?
I already put one player on the chopping block. I went with my gut for week one, and he failed me miserably. I had Moreno. I read a stat before the week. I had $5 million left to spend on a defender, and I'm like, he created, you know, some of the most chances in the league last year. I'll go with him. Yeah, he got me a big fat goose egg, so he sliced.
He gone.
Yeah. I picked up some bum from West Brom. Tony Pulis, he knows his defense, so
he does.
awesome. So there's you know, the matchups, we listed the matchups to watch for last week that we'll probably end up talking about just because they're fun matchups. The matchups this week are actually, you know, not to plug myself, but I'm gonna be playing the Nightingale, so that'll be one to watch. We're gonna have him on the show this weekend. And Loaf, you're playing against Josh, so we've got a nice little Everton Liverpool matchup going on here. You know, Josh may be coming back at you after, you know, losing the Pittsburgh's official EPL team. So just watch out for
that's
that.
That's awesome.
yeah, so we'll be giving updates on that. Check Twitter. We'll definitely be talking about it. And I think there still is a chance to join the league. I think that you can join up to the end of the second week. So if you're interested, head on over. Go to mongols.com/fantasy. All the details are there, and you can join us. It's a lot of fun, and we're going to be talking about it all season. We're going to be having people on like Loaf to talk about their team. We're going to try to get Willie Hunt and Vargas on the show to talk about their teams, and Nikki Kolarak, who I keep forgetting to mention here. Get some of the Hounds on the talk Premier League, which will be a blast. Otherwise,
what formation do you guys run?
Ooh, I roll out a 4-3-3 right now. I take that back. I do not roll out a 4-3-3. I need to check myself. I roll out a 3-4-3. I try to get more offensive firepower and go less on the defense.
I'm just the classic English manager. I go 4-4-2. I'm stuck in my ways. I'm a dinosaur, and I like it. I'm going to stay that way.
I'm a 3-5-2 kind of guy.
Whoa. Hey. Yeah. It's packing that midfield. Nice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, so I guess in terms of, excuse me, we mentioned this past weekend that we're going to be changing the format of the shows a little bit. Just as a bit of reminder, the way we're going to do this is we're going to be releasing two separate shows next week. Rather than trying to cram Hounds and EPL into one show, we're going to release the Hounds show on Monday night. And as I mentioned, we're going to have the Nightingale join us to break down the Rochester game and preview our upcoming games against both Wilmington and Harrison, since we got two games we're playing next week. Or Harrison, I'm sorry, Harrisburg. We got two games we're playing next week. The Harrisburg bus, you know, the Steel Army's getting the bus together to go out there. Definitely go over, check out the Steel Army site, get on the bus. I think there are still a few spots available, but we can confirm that. But it's going to be a blast. I believe the Nightingale is going to Harrisburg for that game. Like, he'll just magically pop up in the stands. So it's definitely worth, you know, getting out there and seeing it. He's also going to be sharing details on the show on Monday night about his new podcast that we're producing as well, which is going to be a lot of fun, so you won't want to miss that. And then we'll release our Premier League show on Tuesday night, and so in which case we're going to break it down into three different Premier League games that we cover from the weekend. So this weekend we're talking about Liverpool versus Burnley, Leicester versus Arsenal, and then a game picked by you, the fans. So head over to mongols.com, click on the Premier League Game of the Week link to submit your vote. And like I mentioned, you know, we want to have more people on, like Loaf, to talk about their teams. So get the votes in. And, you know, if your game is the one that we talk about, then we're probably going to ask you on the show to talk to us. That's just sort of how it works. So otherwise, there's a ton to look forward to. I also mentioned on the last show that I'm working on a show with John Krasinski about some of the college and high school teams around here. We think the preview show will probably air sometime next week, which it sounds like it's going to be amazing. That's a whole nother sector of soccer that I'm totally blind to, and John is just so knowledgeable about. And so we're going to talk about some Pitt, some Duquesne. He talked about maybe mentioning some Penn State. We'll see. But that's going to be a lot of fun. So a lot of cool stuff coming down the pipe. So just stay tuned, especially it'll all start this weekend. Otherwise, I think that's all from us. You know, like I said, join us on our next show where we'll be joined by Josh and Richard. And we'll recap the Rochester game from the Hound side. And then we'll talk EPL on Tuesday. So
sounds good, Mike.
All right. Well, for Mike and for Mike, for me, for Kev, for Loaf. Thanks, everybody, for joining us, and we'll talk to you very, very soon.
Cheers.
Later.